Thank you, Barbara and Neville. Wonderful. Jesus was a teacher, a healer, having charisma. People flocked to hear him. By his actions, he was known. He displayed an incredible variety of personality characteristics over his ministry, over his life. But I believe Jesus carefully used different personality styles in different situations. As a leader, throwing out the money changers and the temple, he was exercising the power he had from God. And the extreme opposite, surrendering himself to be hung on the cross and then forgiving those who killed him. Jesus was a servant leader, putting others first at personal risk, like Esther. So this series that we've done for 3 weeks has been called Everyone a Leader. That's a big ask for a church. I suggest that someone who just comes into and out of a church without interacting with anyone else isn't a leader. However, those who come and talk to others, share with each other, are definitely involved in the church and do possess characteristics of a leader. If our church is to thrive, we need to have everyone involved using all their gifts and talents. So how do we do that? I asked myself that question, and I came up with the answer, the old ancient quote, "Know thyself." It's a good place to start. We're aware that our behaviour, our knowledge, our skills, our attitudes, and the things we have done and are doing now are visible to others. We also have things we know about ourselves but don't share with others. Then there are the things which others know about us by observation, but we ourselves are unaware of. Have you ever heard someone say, "I can read them like a book"? Maybe their abilities and skills which are not yet developed. In my home church, Rosewater Methodist, where I grew up, the Saunders family were very good at inviting young ones, teenagers, adults to do things in the church and encouraging us. I became involved because of that in Sunday school, Christian Endeavour, Sunday school teaching, Scripture Union missions, and had great opportunities as part of a youth group to tell stories and to preach around the Alberton circuit and other places. A few years later, as a young adult, Glenn Barnett, who married Averill Saunders, asked me to preach in a little church in the Adelaide Hills. And I said, "No, I'm not a preacher." Well, Glenn was persuasive. He eventually convinced me to do it because he had seen in me abilities I hadn't. We sometimes need to be asked. We always need encouragement. But just a warning, please don't pressure people who aren't ready. Give them time. We need time to start to see ourselves as an important part of the church, and not all of us may have the gifts that you think we have. All right, I don't want us to judge each other, put labels on each other. I'd like us to use the information that I'm sharing with you today as food for thought, particularly in looking at ways individually we can be more involved in this church. You might be asking now, does that mean commitment? Yes, it does. I've heard people say, "This year, I like a church which doesn't make demands on me." So do I. But the Apostle Paul said, "We are saved to serve." Romans 7, verse 4. "You are part of the body of Christ, and now you belong to him who was raised from death in order that we might be useful in the service of God." You are part of the body of Christ. So when we look at our own bodies, we realise that every part is needed to make up a whole body. Every part is needed in order for the body to function properly. Everyone in the church is needed for the church to function properly and fulfil God's given purpose. No one in the church should choose not to get involved just because they don't think their particular gifts or abilities are as important as those of someone else. Paul's statement in verse 16 and 17 are ridiculous in order to emphasise that point. Imagine if the whole body was one great big eye. It would do you no good because you couldn't hear, walk, talk or eat. The very idea is ridiculous. The same is true in the church. God has given different gifts, ministries, abilities to different people so the church would be whole and healthy to fulfill every function God has entrusted to the body. If everyone was a preacher, who would do pastoral care and all the other things that are done in a church? If a body loses one of its members, say an arm, we recognize that the rest of the body is handicapped. The body will still be alive and can find new ways to do the functions the arm used to do, but it won't be as efficient. What happens to the arm that is separated from the rest of the body? It shrivels up and dies. So it is in the church. We can get along without this building or property, but the church cannot continue long without faithful people praying or faithful people telling their friends, neighbours and co-workers about Jesus. There must be faithful people who will encourage and help one another. There must be faithful people who will disciple younger Christians. Without such faithful people, the church will become sick and eventually die. Paul explains in verse 26 that we are all in this together. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. What happens when you stub your toe? Oh, my big toe. The pain. Your whole body feels it. When you have a toothache, you can't get to sleep. It's really hard to concentrate and do things. In a running race, if your legs carry you across the finish line first, which has never happened to me, the rest of your body is honoured along with your fast feet as the winner. The same is true in the church. We are all bound together. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. While we are many members, we are yet one body and individually members of one another. That's from Romans 12, 4 and 5. For us at Port Adelaide Uniting Church, please don't start judging others and putting them in boxes. Instead, put your thoughts into considering who you are, what attributes you have, and how you can use them to be a vital part of God's work in this place. Robin challenged us a few weeks ago with words something like this: 2017 is the year of decision for Port Adelaide Uniting Church. We need to put some effort and prayer and wise counsel to become the church God has called us to be. So let us pray. Lord, we give thanks for the consultation process this week, for Linda, Cheryl and Alan's involvement with us. And we look forward to their findings. We pray for this church, for the people who make up this church, those who welcome us each Sunday, those who provide music and lead our singing, those who lead our prayers, those who read from your word, those who share your wisdom, those who worship with us, those who listen to us when we talk, and those who serve us in so many, many ways. May we seek to build each other up so that we become your body in Christ. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us sing together now. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.